What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Jake Volnick, Spencer German with you. We were talking Cavs moments ago as the game just tipped off. 7-7 ball game here out of the gate over at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. Appreciate you guys jumping on in with us to talk about the and we'll go here to the phones real quick because Chris in Chicago wanted to talk about the Cavs. Chris, what's up, man?
What's going on, Chris?
Hey, gentlemen. Great show.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
You're welcome. You know what? I think if you're going to get rid of some pieces, I'm okay with getting rid of LeVert and Okoro, and then whatever the package would have to be with draft picks. I like Dean Wade, and you know, for like stats dorks like me, whenever Dean Wade is in a game, he's always positive on the plus minus. I mean, literally everybody.
He's a really good defender, Chris. Yeah.
He really is, and you've got other guys. If you got like Cam Johnson, I don't know. Though, like, what are your thoughts? I mean, could you package in a Okoro and a LeVert? You'd still have to get rid of some first rounders, is what you're saying, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, Chris, I appreciate the call. I think what's interesting. I honestly think here's the thing. If you're going to end up pulling a trade off, I think somebody like Jalen Tyson is going to end up having to be part of a deal, because Brooklyn either wants young players that they can, you know, build with towards the future with. Or picks. And so if you're the Cavs, you only have so many picks you can offer. Like we said, I think they can only offer the 2023 or 2031, rather. That'd be interesting if they could go back in time and offer a pick. The 2031 pick, okay.
Well, if they can offer the, I think, 2023 first round pick, that'd be good because I don't think we had one. So that would be great.
If you could, though, like, or if you're offering the 2031 pick, then you have to throw in stuff that's going to entice them to sort of take your offer over other teams that can offer more from the pick standpoint. So somebody like Jalen Tyson has to be part of it. Maybe somebody like Amani Bates would have to be part of it because they want people who are like young talents that could turn into something. Maybe you'd have to give up Sam Merrill because he's like this younger, sharp-shooting player that if you can get him into like a nice sort of rhythm, maybe he can be something for you. So I get where like that becomes cumbersome. Then you're giving up more players than maybe you want to. The salaries obviously have to match as well. But yeah, like to me, I think the vibes are what you make them. And I think that this team can largely overcome that because you have Donovan Mitchell as a leader of this team here, who is as even keel and as it comes. And he has been so open in like everything with the guys that he already has on his team. And they've gotten close just in this short period of time anyway. Like, I don't think it would throw everything off, especially like you said, Jake. And I think this is one of the more brilliant points on this subject. You're not running 10-11 deep anyway in the playoffs. So if you got to give some of those guys up to get a frontline guy who can contribute to you 30-plus minutes a night, especially in the postseason, I think it's probably worth doing it.
Yeah, I would think it has to be. The packaging multiple guys, though, does kind of make sense to me. Even if you say, like, you feel like Jalen Tyson has to be a part of it, I almost feel like Isaac Okoro is that guy, though. He, like, substitutes in for a Jalen Tyson. They're only separated by like a year worth of age, Spencer. I mean, it's close to two, but like Okoro's 23 right now, and 22 is the age for Jalen Tyson. Like they are not far apart. Like they are literally the same age practically. So and Okoro just signed a brand new contract, right? He's getting paid $10 million. You have, I think, at least 3 years of control with him if you trade him. Like
LeVert's is $14 million. So if he's part of the deal, that gets you... I know Cam Johnson, because I was looking at this the other day, his is like 20. So you're already like, part of the way there. So then you got to figure out like what else kind of lines up and fits into that. I don't have Sam Merrill's off the top of my head. But yeah, like I think there's ways to make it work. But I think it probably would take a package of players because, like I said, you're throwing in a couple young guys that they feel like they could build with, on top of whatever picks you have to offer. And that's just kind of the situation the Cavs are in because they can't offer you two or three first-round picks because theirs are all tied up right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'll play Trade Builder with you for like a quarter of a second. It is literally...
I always love Trade Builder.
Okoro, you trade them Caris LeVert for the idea that they just get to dump the cap at the end of the year and then they have all that money sitting there, right? You know, like they eat up the cap right now and then it's free next year that they can go sign somebody. And then you throw in, you know, a couple of picks. You get a young player cap just to throw out the window next year and picks to go along with it. And you get rid of what is, I think, $22 million on the contract of Cam Johnson. And I think Okoro's is, like $16 million. And, or Okoro's is $10 million and Karis LeVert's is like $16 million. So works money-wise.
Yeah, I mean, you can make it work. But again, the sides have to agree. Brooklyn has to want what you want, what you have. There's a lot of factors in play here. But I think I'm done pointing to the vibe thing and using that as my reason not to make a trade. Let's go to Todd at War 1 here real quick. What's up, Todd? What's
going on, Todd?
Yo, Brooklyn's not giving that dude up. It's a nice dream, but no, it ain't going to happen. They can't afford to trade out anybody that they don't have. They're going to have to improve within and maybe bring up somebody from the Charge who I'm not keeping up with, but I bet y'all know somebody. Is there somebody that could bring up from the Charge?
Todd, how many – okay, let me ask you honestly, though. How many times has somebody that like a team brings up from the G League, you know, middle of the season or whatever, like how many times is that person actually like an impactful player on a championship team?
It has been a minuscule amount, but I know this. That team is so good right now, and they're in so much need of every single person on that team right now that to give up somebody in place of just improving within or finding some stroke of luck in the G League is – Brooklyn's not giving that dude up. Not for Okoro. That's not going to happen. So I'm like –
I think they're going to give him up. It's just a matter of if they're going to give him up to the Cavs and what the Cavs have.
That's what I'm talking about, to the Cavs. Why would they give him to the Cavs? I want to see him win the championship just like anybody else that's a fan, you know, but that they got to improve with them, man. Unless they could just find some serious rebounder that nobody is aware of. That's all they got coming, man.
All right, Todd. I appreciate the call, man. Thank you for sharing. Yeah, no, listen. Go ahead.
I kind of hate that the idea that, like, any of these guys are irreplaceable. I despise that. You would bring in Cam Johnson to be putting in the production that two of these guys are putting in. You're playing, like, whack-a-mole at small forward right now. You're just taking a stab and a guess and trying to play matchups the entire time. No, how about you have a guy that is like matchup proof? Cam Johnson is matchup proof. He can guard pretty much 1 through 4, 2 through 4 on the lineup, right? He'll handle anybody you put at the 3 spot, and offensively, he's a nightmare.
I've loved Cam Johnson for a while now for this team, so I'm totally into this. Here's what I'll say. I give Kobe Altman a lot of credit because in today's NBA, the hardest thing you can do is run it back and be like, we think we can still win with this group. Like that nowadays, you only get a short amount of time to like see these things through. And usually teams are trying to change quickly. Like, you know what I mean? Like they're trying to evolve and they're not just staying the same. And so I give them credit for that. But now that you have a team that's playing to this level, now the hardest thing to do is to pull the trigger on something that changes that up. So I get that. I get like he's in a situation and yet again, where he's going to have to make a tough decision. If they decide to stay in pat, which is what I think they probably will do, I guess I got to respect it. But I do think there's something to the idea that, you know, if you go all in here, Celtics maybe struggling a little bit, showing you there's some cracks, even though you know they're going to turn it on in the playoffs, fine. I don't know, man. Like, I the more and more the season draws on and I look around, the more I'm intrigued by adding somebody like Cam Johnson, who you said, is a fit for any matchup. And the other part of this, too, is, like, you haven't played the Knicks much yet. When you did play them, they were still sort of figuring things out themselves. The Knicks are, I think, the other big threat to the Cavs in the East. And that team, what did they do this offseason? They went and got, like, every single wing that they could possibly get. That's the same thing the Cavs got. Like, the Cavs have to realize that might be a mismatch come postseason time if they don't have wings to match the wings of a team like the Knicks. So this kind of gets you back in that matchup a little bit better, I think, back in the ball game with that team. Not saying they're going to be completely overmatched as is. I'm just saying, like, there is something to be said for that's the thing that everyone else around you is doing. So why not try to join the club?
Why do you think the Knicks did that?
Because they know what wins in the league right now.
And they know what the Celtics have and what they have to go through in the East in order to get it done. How do you beat a wing? Get a wing. That's the only way to do it.
To use the Guardians analogy, like you brought up earlier, like how we were both at the deadline saying like they need to do more. I would hate to get to the playoffs and this team lose in like the second round or something to the Knicks or whatever and have to sit there and be like, well, if they had traded for Cam Johnson, they would have had a chance. Like, I would hate to have that feeling. I'd rather they trade for Cam Johnson and be like, all right, if they lose, they gave it their best shot. Because I can tell you right now, like, if they lose the Knicks with Cam Johnson, I don't think they were going to beat him with Caris LeVert, Jalen Tyson, like guys were throwing out there that would have to be part of this trade off the bench. So
yeah, you're not going to sit there and go, man, I just wish we had a volume shooter who could bring in and randomly either shoot 10 for 10 or 1 for 10 off the bench.
Although this fan base also just wanted the more Lamar Stevens a couple years ago in the playoffs because they thought that was going to be the difference between being the Knicks too. So who knows? 216-474-0092. When we get back, Jake found out that he's a child when it comes to being sick. And this Ryan Day redemption story, maybe the greatest one we've ever seen in sports. We'll talk about it coming up next. We'll get back into the Browns in a little bit as well. It's Spencer German and Jake Volnick with you on The Fan.